This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals are back home. They opened up a series yesterday against the Cincinnati Reds, dropping game one. They're back at it tonight, 6:40. First pitch right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's On Deck show starts at 5:30. It'll be former Royal Brady Singer on the bump for the Reds. The Royals will send out Daniel Lynch. This is a bullpen game. Today, we'll see how many innings they can get from Daniel Lynch. The Royals are now 29-26 on the season.
Next up on Watch Trading, the Oklahoma City Thunder take a 3-1 series win, or lead, sorry, over the Timberwolves last night. Knicks Pacers game four tonight. They're in Indianapolis again. They trail 2-1 after losing their first two games of the series. Thunder game was close late. Came down to free throws at the end. Anthony Edwards missed an important one there late. Eventually, the Thunder take the 3-1 series lead. Teams to lead 3-1 in the Western Conference. Semifinals, they go on to win it a bunch. Not 100% of the time, but a pretty heavy favorite that the Thunder, who were the favorites going into the playoffs, will make the finals.
Yesterday, the bracket in the field for the 2025 D1 College Baseball Championship were announced. The road to Omaha. And we've got a couple local schools in the field this year. You have Kansas State. They'll be in the Austin Regional. They'll take on UTSA in their first game, likely setting up a regional matchup against Texas if all goes well for the Wildcats. Kansas in the field for the first time since 2014. They are in the Arkansas, the Fayetteville Regional. They will open up against Creighton, and hopefully they get an opportunity to play Arkansas. For whatever reason in recent years, man, when it comes to postseason competition, Kansas has been playing Arkansas in everything. Football in the Liberty Bowl, basketball, obviously, in the NCAA tournament. They also play Creighton this past year, basketball. And it hasn't been good results either. But yeah. Obviously a big deal to have two locals trying to get to Omaha, man. It'd be awfully cool if either K-State or KU can get to Omaha. But they both have some very tough draws.
Yeah, rooting for the obvious locals to try to do a little noise here. Hopefully there's a chance for them. And you said you might even might be worth the trip.
The Omaha Hawks. They could become the Omaha Hawks if we see them get up there. We'll see, man. I'm going to Omaha this weekend, but the College World Series obviously is like 2.5 weeks away.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Next up on What's Trending, the KC Current got a 3-1 win over the Stars on Saturday. They are at the top of the NWSL standings, and Sporting Kansas City got the 3-3 tie against the New England Revolution.
That is what's trending.
Yeah, pretty good little weekend there for soccer. Honestly, right now, it's like for them, like if you're Sporting, you're just like, try not to be an embarrassment like you were in the early part of the season and call it a day, right?
They definitely are playing better soccer.
Quite a bit better.
That is the case. It is a Tuesday. Hope everybody had a fantastic holiday weekend. And because it's a Tuesday, you know, that means our friends over at Summit Grill, our Tuesday lunch partner here on Cody and Golden, they're proud Taco Tuesday partners of the show. You can head on over to any of their three locations in the KC area for $2.50 tacos. Let's start at 3 o'clock today. Starting at three, $2.50 tacos at any of the three Summit Grill locations.
Can't wait to get out there again soon. There's one in my neck of the woods, as you mentioned, over there in Lee Summit. And of course, in my old area in Waldo. I can't really walk to the one that's by my house now, but it's maybe a 5-minute drive.
Walk. You could. You know, you really could.
I mean, it'd be a haul, though. Take the kids to the pool first. It's not far from the community center where my kids go swim sometimes.
There you go.
I want my younger kid to be able to like fully swim without like a life jacket on this year. He's getting better.
Nice.
But like, you know, I wouldn't toss him in a pool and just be like, hope you make it. You know?
Well, that'd be, yes. That's nice of you.
Well, my daughter went off the high dive last year and I'm like, I wasn't confident. I was like, you're a pretty good swimmer. I think you can definitively swim.
See, for
swim if you're coming off of that? Oh, I sat in the edge of the pool ready to swim down if I had to.
Yeah.
I was prepped. But at some point, you got to let them try that stuff. You don't know until they
true.
Do it.
This, for me, you know, the heights thing goes back to even the diving board as a kid. It really does.
That was the high dive, man. That wasn't even the short diving board.
The climb up the ladder and just standing on the board. This is why I don't like heights to this day, I'm convinced. The same thing, man, when it came to the diving board, I did not like going up to the diving board, the very top, because I did it a few times and
I like it.
Ooh, no. No, it was still the same height thing. Even though, like, oh man, I fall in the water, it's gonna be okay. But like it's still the depth perception thing and the height thing.
I went to a big pool once, like in Colorado, where you could rope swing into like this huge 20-foot deep part. You could just like swing down and drop and fall into the pool. It was awesome. I would do that kind of stuff.
You strike me as someone that would do the cliff dive stuff.
Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah, I'm out.
I probably would.
Drew? Have you done the cliff diving stuff? You know what I'm talking about.
I don't think you do that.
I know what you're talking about. I've never done it before.
I think Desmond had a busy weekend.
I think I would.
He climbed his first fence. He decided he was like, I caught him like halfway up a fence.
Your fence?
No, it was like we were at my in-law's house. They have like a chain. Mine's wood fence. He was up a chain link fence, getting his feet in to try to get over to a different park. I was like, where are you going? I was in the back. But I caught him halfway, and he made it 80% of the way through a monkey bar that he had to jump up to grab the rung for. They crashed. He had a long weekend.
Thinking of climbing fences, we have a New Orleans prison escape update coming up later on this hour.
Oh, boy, can't wait.
Yeah, we will get to that. There's an update on what has transpired over the holiday weekend as well. But let's start with the Royals here. We'll talk about them. Multiple moves in the last week. On Friday's show, it was, of course, the DFA of Hunter Renfroe and calling up Nick Lofton. Then yesterday, John Rave was called up from AAA, made his MLB debut. And these are kind of these micro moves until ultimately I think the bigger help could be on the way. We'll talk about CAGs a little bit later on this hour. But also the external options, as we've said. I mean, I think they're a month away at least before they can realistically, maybe 3 weeks away, making an outside trade, finding an outside trade partner. But in the meantime, can you get some incremental improvements? And it's been one game for John Rave and like three for Nick Lofton, so way too early to tell. But I still think both these guys are kind of patches for hopefully what ultimately is to come later on this summer, CAGs and an outside bat or two that need to happen. We all know where this offense is at. In games, this is not just the Royals' offense. It's just in games as a whole, the Royals, this is because of great pitching. It's also because of bad offense. They have an average of 6.59 runs per game, as in total.
Between the two teams playing in the baseball
game. I wish they were scoring 6.59 runs per game.
They're scoring 3.33 runs per game, which is third worst in baseball, just ahead of Colorado and Pittsburgh.
But the combined amount of runs in their game, because of great pitching but bad offense, is the lowest since 1972. Not lowest for the Royals since 72, as in Major League Baseball.
Any team in baseball. Look, that is both an offense stat and a defense stat. What I think is, and we'll talk about some Jack Caglione here coming up in about 15 minutes, because it's an important part of this equation, but I don't want to mention it yet, because it's an important part of the conversation, but I want to have this part first. It is fairly obvious right now that the Kansas City Royals are determined to try anything now. They're in the official trial phase. For those who wanted Renfroe gone, he's gone. For those who wanted them to see if Nick Lofton could get on base at the level he was getting on in AAA, they made that move. They had to talk Kevin Biggio into accepting
a minor.
He could have just dipped into accepting a minor league assignment. So good for Cavan for just being like, you know what? I'll earn my way back up. And so they are in the trial mode. They are throwing out guys in AAA. They're going to try Rave. They're going to try Lofton. They're going to see what sticks. You and I talked about it. When they made the move for Drew Waters, that was an improvement versus what they were getting out of MJ Melendez at the time. And so it has worked in small micro doses up to this point. The question is not whether or not it works in the long haul, but they've got to try some stuff to get some offense because of that stat, man. They're the third worst offense in baseball. The third worst offense. And we'll talk about the Cags part of this because I'm not going to try to pretend like that can't be part of your solution.
Sure.
The team they're tied for third worst in baseball in runs per game is the Texas Rangers. The Texas Rangers just had a player who played 8 games in AAA before they called his ass up to the majors.
Yeah, but he also played 150 in the minors before that, though.
And there was and they're similar age. So, like, Jack hasn't had as much time because obviously they got him in their system earlier. But also, like, when you look at it, it's like part of the reason they did it is because of injury. And part of the reason they did it is because, you know, part of the reason they did it is because they needed a bat, an offense, sure, some kind of hitting. Like, I'm not over, like, I don't know. It's so weird. I am not always, I think on this show, hyper-optimist guy. I think I am a little bit more of the Royals than the Chiefs sometimes.
For
but not,
sure.
But not...
No, I think that's fair. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not like, I don't even think I'm like an over-optimist when it comes to the Royals. You and I had said before the season, we were like right in line. I think maybe you had them at 89 or 90 wins. I had them at like 88 or 89. They're right on pace for that. They're like an 86, 87 win team based on their current record. The way their offense is playing right now, they should be, and we said this like 20 games ago, it's only more true now, they should be a bad baseball team. Just straight up, they should be a bad baseball team based on just the offensive numbers alone. They can't hit homers or score runs or hit with runners and score. They're struggling as a unit in all of those areas. They're not a bad baseball team. They're a good baseball team. They're a winning baseball team. They're on pace to be a playoff team as it sits right now. So, like, at some point, I know they can't solve their offensive problems for the next 30 days. Like, I know Caglione is the quickest thing they can do to solve part of their offensive problems. But the rest of it, the, like, trade market part of it, that's 30, 40 days down the road when the trade market develops gold, which is why I like that they're trying Rave and Waters and everyone else and Lofton and everyone else under the sun to try to find it. I'm okay with the way they're approaching it.
Yeah, look, this is at this point, we all know the offseason issues in the outfield, they were not able to address, and that has come back to bite them. But as much as people talk about that, I still think if we're being honest about what was going to be the driving force of an offensive team, it was probably never going to be that Hunter Renfroe was just going to play well. It was going to still be that Salvador Perez was not going to have the type of numbers that he's having right now. That in the first month of the season, Vinny wouldn't struggle. He's now hitting really, really well. Well above 300, by the way, in the month of May.
He's hitting 350 in May.
Yeah, but they also thought, you know, Jonathan India was not going to have the numbers that he was having. My point being is still as much as we can talk about the guys 6 through 9 in the order or Hunter Renfroe, who's not even part of the organization anymore, you know, it's the guys in the first four of the order that still are going to have to carry this thing. Yeah. Even if Caglione gets called up, you know, I don't know, maybe he's batting 6th, 5th. I have no idea where they would put him in the order. Probably something like that.
They'd probably put him 6th or 7th. He should probably just hit 4th. Well, I'm just like,
but they're not putting him there immediately. But,
well, and he'd have to hit after Vinny, so he would hit 5th.
My point being is, like, even when he gets called up, if you tell me Salvi and India and Vinny aren't all hitting at the same time together, then there's going to be some problems there as well. I mean, we're all very, very excited for Jack Caglione. We're going to talk about him in 15 minutes, but you know, the numbers he's putting up in AAA, like he's not putting up numbers to carry an offense immediately when he comes up to the big leagues.
No player could.
Big picture.
Maybe Aaron Judge.
Big picture. One day, yeah, he's probably batting 3rd in this order and he's a huge, huge piece of it. Like a year from now, 2 years from now, that's true. But the minute he gets called up, that cannot be the expectation. And so it still goes back to me, the first four guys in the order ultimately are going to have to hit. Nick Lofton, John Rave, these guys, no disrespect to them. I view them as kind of patches to the problem right now. And look, hopefully they seize the opportunity. And then they don't have to trade
for a 5th outfielder. But it could just be
right
you.
Now, I think they're patches for a problem until they can make an external move or an internal one in the next couple weeks or a month if Cags keeps hitting the way he's doing. The way he's hitting. So that's where things are at. But, you know, I think people are nervous, obviously, because, and I'm talking about fans, because yeah, they're on pace for 86, 87 wins, but I think there's always the thought, okay, what happens if the pitching drops out? Then you're screwed, right? And I think we've seen enough to know that this pitching has been doing this now for over a year, or a year and a half almost at this point.
I can't, like, the offense is in such
like Michael Massey, Salvador Perez, keep going down the list. I mean, these guys just are not hitting.
Yeah, India's not hitting well enough. He's not hitting as bad as those two guys are, but he's not hitting well enough either. I mean, the offense is at a point now that I continuously keep trying to... I try to talk myself out of it because, and it's not like I'm not the like bring back every name we've ever heard of. I'm the opposite of that. A majority of the time for the Chiefs or the Royals or anything else. Like we talked about this with Juju Smith-Schuster or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep looking at like Ryan O'Hearn ends up being like, it's like the one guy who fits what they need.
What are you going to do? DH him?
The only problem is, no, I mean, I play him in the
right
corner
outfield. So yeah. You have him in right field, Cags where?
Left when he got called up. He's playing left and right, technically. Yeah. So, but the other problem is, like, he's a lefty. Vinny's a lefty.
I told you I'm out on bringing Ryan O'Hearn back.
Look, he'd be a better rental bat if you didn't have a guy like Jack Caglione in the minors, is the truth. Do you realize that Ryan O'Hearn is hitting .300 for a miserably bad Orioles team? He's hitting .340 with a .426 on base and a .969 slug. In WRC, which is just like the stat for like the value you bring to a team, he's technically the fourth highest in baseball. This is where he is. He's only behind Judge, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani.
No, I mean, awesome for him. I just, I'm pretty much universally not a big believer in bringing back players that you parted ways with. In this case, it's also been like 3 years.
The text line from the 816 said the season is slipping, boys. I don't feel that yet.
This next week will, for a lot of people will determine that. I mean, look, they've had ups and they've won 16 of 18. They're now they've won four of their last only, four of 16 or something right now.
Yeah,
they're struggling, but these are the ebbs and flows that they've had so far this season.
And when you have no offense, I guess I would just kind of anticipate that until you find comfort in your offense every day, which I still think they're trying to work through.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's not surprising to me.
I don't obviously know where the texter is coming from directly on. Like, I don't know where were you at.
I'm just asking if you sense that, if you feel the season getting away from you.
We recognize the offensive problem. As long as the pitching holds up, then they're going to be able to hover around where they're at until they potentially have a way to fix the offense. My question would be, if you feel it's slipping away, did you also think it was slipping away like on April 20th?
Like they're 2-3.
I don't know if you were, but if you did, then it's, there was also people that thought the season was slipping away on April 25th.
They're 2-3 in their last five. They're, 4, they're 4-4 in their last eight. They're, I'm not here to claim that they're some world beater team right now. They're not, but they're 4-4 in their last eight games.
If you want to say
then I take the last 12. Well, then they're 4-12. They're 8-12, right? Or 4-8. Sorry, 4-8.
No, the last 10 plus games, they have not obviously performed at the level that they were before. I would say if you want to argue that the division and catching the Tigers, you're worried about that could slip away over the next week or two, I could hear that out a little bit more.
So.
But not, as far as like that, they're slipping away and they're not going to make the playoffs because of what's happened in the last 14 games. No, I can't get on board with that.
Well, when they got done with their massively long winning streak, where they were winning 16 of 18 games, they were 5.5 games back of the Tigers. Do you know where they are now? 6.
Well, look at the rest of the American League from a wild card perspective, too, Cody. Like
They're not even. They're a half game further back of the Tigers than they were right after they got done winning 16 of 18 games.
Yep.
So what that tells you is that the Tigers are losing as many games as they're losing right now.
The Royals are 4-6 in their last 10. The Tigers are 5-5 in their last 10.
Yeah.
The Guardians are 4-6 in their last 10. The Royals are 4-6 in their last 10. The Twins, who obviously just beat them in a series, have won 6 of their last 10. Makes sense, right? They won the series against the Royals. That's the difference.
One of those first two games when they were down, when they got walked, we didn't even talk about that because it was so far down the weekend. How frustrating was the start to that series, Gold? Walked off back-to-back days in the bottom of the ninth inning.
They avoided it. Thank goodness. Otherwise, it was about to be 3 straight. Yeah.
Yeah, they avoided it. Yeah, they did not get walked off. They went to extras and won that game. Phew.
Nick Lofton helped them in that one.
Did you see? We maybe, as you'd mentioned earlier in the show, if you guys missed it, Governor Kehoe spoke and officially announced they will be doing a special session that will include talking about funding for future Chiefs and Royals stadiums in the Kansas City metro, on the Missouri side, in the Kansas City metro area. This is interesting for a couple of reasons. One, it starts next Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, Monday the 2nd, I think it goes to the 13th.
So they'll have 10 days or so in order to discuss this. If they can get that passing, I think, matters for where the Chiefs and Royals say they're going.
Oh, for sure.
I think they need that funding in hand before they start going to the counties in order to ask for the money, going to just the city. If Kansas City's got their own funding mechanisms that Quentin Lucas has vaguely spoke about a number of times. It's not nothing over the next 2 weeks, because we'll have to wait a week for them to start, that he at least called the special session. They have a chance to pass. And you had pointed out that maybe they're going to be conceding in ways to try to get it passed, which also helps this thing.
Yeah, I mean, we all know there was some other issues in addition to the stadium bill that were being discussed towards the end of their legislative session. And there was some things that didn't pass that some folks there wanted to have a chance to vote on. And then that caused them to, you know, basically not agree to potentially vote, or vote in the way in which some people wanted them to. And so now maybe there's multiple issues in addition to the stadium bill that are going to be brought up during the special session. And maybe that can alleviate, I guess, a little bit of the stalemate, if you will, on the stadium bill. We'll see. But this the path for Missouri keeping both teams or one of the teams absolutely has to involve the stadium bill. Absolutely has to have it. You need the state funding mechanisms and the mechanism that would allow them to get closer to what Kansas is offering from a star bond perspective. They obviously call it something different in Missouri, but it would be a very similar, not an exact, but similar type of funding mechanism. And this goes back to the fact that there's a deadline at the end of June. The star bonds in Kansas expire. Well, now we know there's a special session in Missouri happening that, you know, will wrap up around the middle of June. And so it is all, as we've said a few times, coming together where this month of June is going to be kind of the deciding factor. Not that we're going to know exactly where each team is at, but in terms of which side of the state line, I think by the end of June, we're going to have that answer. And the special session at minimum is what is going to keep this a possibility for Missouri. You have to at least have the chance to pass the stadium bill, and they have a chance to pass it. We'll see.
I got my confidence level in Missouri passing.
Oh, I hear
anything
you.
Is in the totally. Basement, dude.
That understandable. Below, understandable.
The core, it's just, I mean, it's, it cannot, my expectations of Missouri's ability to sit in the legislature and actually pass something cannot be high at this point. Their track record over the last, we've been following them because of the sports wagering stuff and like it came up with like all, like it's just pretty much everything ends up in a ballot. And the last time this one ended up in a ballot on the state of Missouri or in the Jackson County, and they didn't pass any of it. And then in the normal legislature, they were unable to even bring it up for real conversation into the session. And look, for all I know, maybe they did that because they knew he was always going to call the special session. So they're like, we'll get to it then. We're making a point. There's a lot of like stuff in there that I just don't understand. I'm not optimistic, but I am interested. But I've told you before, I just want to know now, and this is like really where you and I have come into it. The Missouri-Kansas thing is not as important for me as tell me where it is. Tell me where it's going to be. And yeah, it is important to me for one reason, which is I still want the Royals downtown. So like that part, finding out where they're going to go, that's more important to me than where the Chiefs go.
Yeah, I think in two different sides of it, you know, there's the obvious issue, no matter what state you're talking about, the financial impact if you leave a certain state. But from a fan, if we're just talking from a fan perspective, ultimately the number one priority is making sure both teams are staying in the KC Metro. And that's going to happen one way or the other here, the Royals or the Chiefs staying. But yeah, there's massive repercussions if you're someone that lives in Missouri, and specifically Jackson County, if you were to lose one or two of these teams. There's massive dollars leaving your city, leaving your county, leaving the state.
So you'd think that pressure would make them make the decision on this to fund it. It won't, or it won't guarantee that they will, because the infighting's out of control.
All right, up next, let's talk about Cags and what a week it was, his first week in AAA. You'll want to hear what JJ Piccolo had to say about that first week. We'll also get to the random question of the day right here on Cody.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ingold. Don't forget to stop in at our friends over at Summit Grill, our Tuesday lunch partner here on Cody and Gold, the proud Taco Tuesday partner of the show. You head on over to any of their three locations for $2.50 tacos starting at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We will get to the random question of the day here in about 8 minutes or so, but we, of course, have to talk about Jack Caglione. And even if you were like, hey, I just don't want to hear it until he is doing things that you simply cannot ignore. He is in now, what, six games, I think it is, in AAA. In 1 week, 346, five homers, 10 RBI, four strikeouts, just destroying the baseball. And here's the thing I will say. I know they were playing out in Salt Lake in the mountains and everything. You look at some of the XFV, those were going to be home runs, even if they weren't in the fresh mountain air there in the altitude. Now,
could
I will
put that on, you know, Jupiter's.
Now, it was against the same team all week. I'll give you that. It's like, okay, well, one of these other teams have some adjustment. And that's what we're going to find out this week when they play the Twins AAA affiliate in Omaha starting today.
Another hitter-friendly park.
Yeah, hitter-friendly park.
It's actually minor league baseball's free game of the day. I wonder why.
Huh. Yeah,
do you think
it's because
Jack Caglione just been ripping homers all the time? So if you just wanted to, and I'll watch the Royals tonight, but, you know, you get the point.
Yeah, so look, I think what he did in his first week is absolutely absurd. It's laughable almost. Like, it's just, he left AA because the level wasn't good enough for him. He was too good for AA. They call him up to AAA, and in 1 week,
he looks
too good for it. Now, it's 1 week, it's against the same team. So let's see what happens this week. I understand, like, trust me, I totally get it. Like, call him up. The offense in the big league club stinks, so why wouldn't you call up a guy that's destroying pitching in the minors? I totally get the connection. I think, though, if we step back for 1 second, and some of you, like, wanted him up a month and a half ago, and I can't, so that there's no point of, like, arguing about that. But
sure,
as far as where we're at right now is, they didn't call him up to AAA because they thought, man, we need to really see him play six games against that Salt Lake City team. So that's why I'm not, like, banging on the table saying, how stupid are they for not calling him up? You know, if it was as simple as they only need to see him for six games, then he didn't need to go to AAA at all. Now, if he does what he's doing for another week or so, then he just forces their hand. I do think that will ultimately happen if he continues to do this. But I just think it was never about, I just need to see him do it for 1 week in AAA. That was never, J.J. Piccolo and the Royals were never saying, you know, we think he's really good, but I just got to see 6 days in AAA. And if you're going to cite
pretty much said as much.
And if you're going to cite me the Rangers prospect that was in AAA for 8 games, two things are different with that. Number one, a player in the big league level, Jock Peterson, got put on the IL, so there was a need right away from an injury standpoint, not a production, but a true injury standpoint. The other thing is that kid had already played over 100 games in the minor leagues, so it's not complete apples to apples.
No, it's hard. It's hard to find an exact comp of went to college, played these few games, because he's already going way faster than most players. I'm not going to have an easy way to find you a guy who is progressing a lot faster. I would not go back in time and put him in AAA or the big leagues faster. He played 60 games in Arizona Fall League in high A last year and did not have an on-base percentage higher than .301. He struck out at 25-30% of the time. It didn't look like a player who was ready to just take like an immediate spot in the big leagues. Since then, however, he has been every bit of that. And this is where, like, you and I have been, I think, probably maybe the, like, normal amount of, like, probably, like, almost lockstep with JJ and what the Royals have been doing. Makes sense. Take your time. Let's see him in AA. He was doing so well at AA. The timing of when he got to AAA all made sense. Perfect. No more handcuffs for me. He can be in the big leagues tomorrow. It's fine. Tonight.
I mean, I won't care if he gets called up. Yeah.
He's ready.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to be upset.
He's ready, and you can call him up any second. If you want to wait another week, I'm not here to throw like, you want to wait a couple weeks? I'm probably not going to throw a big fit. If he keeps hitting like this, and it's June 7th, 9th, 10th, and he's still hitting like a homer every night, well, then I will start getting annoyed. After 6 games, I won't, for the same reason you just mentioned. It's a very small sample size. They don't have to rush into it. But I'm officially convinced every metric, every bar that they said they had set for him to see, other than just a sheer number of games, and we'll play this JJ clip in a little bit, because the fact that he says a little bit and not a month, 2 months, the number of games he had mentioned, because he's already at the at-bat number, JJ mentioned to us between 100 and 500 to get to the big leagues. He is now between the two leagues at 203 plate appearances, 178 at-bats. So he's already inside the range. I think he's doing all the things that tell you he's ready for the big leagues. He's hitting it off of lefties. He's going to the opposite field. Yep. His strikeout rate is way down from what it was last year. It is at a far, like a very, very, very acceptable borderline, I would say, good number. And he's hitting it off of future big leaguers, former big leaguers, top prospects. He's raking against everybody, Gold. So, like, I don't need to wait anymore. He can just be in the big leagues, but I don't expect him to do that tonight or anything. I'm ready for the offensive help.
He's going to force their hand if he keeps doing what he's doing. And that's a good thing. I still think the timeline he is on, the track he's on right now, is still best case scenario. They're not slow playing this. I push back on that drastically. I know people will try to cite other examples of guys and other organizations that have been called up. And you're not wrong. Like, if you want to cite Nick Kurtz, the A's prospect, the Rangers prospect, I'm not saying it's never happened, but for every, for those that are citing like two players in the last calendar year, I can also give you 100 other guys at times that haven't been fast tracked or whatever. So we can play that game. And it's like, he's obviously right now doing everything you could possibly ask for from a prospect that was drafted last year. Everything, nothing Jack Caglione has done has caused them to slow play anything. He's on a fast track still, and he might make it super fast. Like, July and August before, I've seen everybody kind of agreed, even though you wanted it earlier, everybody kind of agreed that was probably realistic. If he does what he's doing for another week or two, I don't think they will be able to make a reason to slow down a little bit, but they can take
the time they thought they were going to take.
There's a ton of factors that go in it too as well. I don't know how much they weigh each one of these. I'm just throwing out potential reasons on top of just their own individual evaluation. You have the Super 2 requirements coming up till June. I think that'll be
effective
June 12th-ish. Rookie of the Year does matter now more than ever. And I'm not just talking about him winning it. I'm saying the draft pick compensation. If you win it, you have a player that wins it. You get a draft pick. If I believe they finish second or third, you get an international pick. Well, right now in the American League. And right now that's why they're going to get a pick, because Bobby Wood Jr. finished in the top three of MVP last year. So you have some new things like that factor in. Jacob Wilson's a rookie for the A's who's hitting like .350. He's been awesome. He's the favorite right now, -200 at FanDuel to win Rookie of the Year. He's got a head start on you. If you don't call him up in the next like week or two, I don't think he has any chance to win Rookie of the Year this year, which means he's not eligible for rookie next year if you call him up before like August. And therefore you don't have an ability to have the draft pick. I don't know. I'm not saying that that's what they're thinking. I'm just throwing out
a
bunch of different things that could all be part of the consideration.
Well, here. And JJ Piccolo had mentioned an important part of the consideration, or at least something they would like if those things align, which is says he'd like Jack to get called up when the offense is playing well, not when he has to be the savior.
The hardest part about this for us is we're trying to do what's best for the player. I mean, that's ultimately what this is. You want the player to be as prepared as he can when he comes in major leagues. It's not fair to any player, whether it's Jack Caglione or whoever, when a team may be scuffling offensively, to try to put it on him and hope he's going to come save the day. The best way to break any player into the major leagues is to try to bring him up when the team's hot, you know, offensively scoring some runs. That's not why he's not coming up right now. We just want him to face more advanced pitching in AAA, see how they game plan for him, how he adapts and makes adjustments, you know, not just game to game, but at bat to a bat. It'll take, you know, I don't want to put a timetable on it, but we want to see it for a little bit. I mean, this first week was great. But we certainly weren't saying when he went to AAA, have a good first week and bring him to Kansas City.
A little bit.
But a little bit is like, that feels like a softening a little of the way. The timeline's moved up. You agree? You and I originally from the very beginning thought mid to late July, early August.
I think it's been moved
up. It feels like
up.
June.
I think it's been moved June. Up. If he keeps doing this, I think June 13th to that, whatever. I think they play the A's, the Yankees, that like June 13th, June 18th range.
Yeah.
That would be a possibility, but it also requires him to hit at a pretty ridiculous rate, which is what he's done for 30 days, including both levels now. So it's there. And assuming they also like where his defense is at, I know we're all focused on the offensive numbers, but also you know, how confident they are in him playing left and right field. I don't know. Dusty and I are driving up to Omaha on Friday and Saturday to watch him. I'm sure you need my opinion on his play.
We'd like your scouting
report. I'll give the go ahead on Friday and Saturday, and I'll let you know, and then they can call him up.
We did give JJ we went ahead and messaged him. We gave him the seal of approval. We were there for our Cody and Gold road trip.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants that. Yeah.
Just like if you just called up every player who was hot for a week, it'd be a bit problematic. Like, you know, let's just call up the 18-year-old David Shields from A-Ball. Guy's dealing. Let's just see what he's got. Don't do that, please. And nobody knows even who that is in the Royals organization.
He's performing well right now. Yeah.
But like, it just, with Jack, this isn't even just like me doing like the hyperbolic normal radio, whatever. Like, because you could have done that. I would have just done that from day one. I would have just done that from the day he stepped foot at spring training and said, well, that guy hits monster home runs. Give him to me now. I just like, I'm past the threshold of he's checked every single box I would possibly look for in a player and what I need to see in order to think that they're going to be a good big league player.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Hit us up on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We live stream the show every day. If you subscribe over on YouTube, pop to the top of the page. Easy way to find us. We try to have a conversation over there as well, interact with the chats. So, you know, let's, get over there on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook if you'd like to interact with the show. The random question I have for you today is related to my kid, because but it's relative to you. It's an answer directly to you.
Okay.
The question, Desmond, who I told you was sick last night, has also been begging for a mohawk for, I don't know, 2 months. 2 months, probably.
All right.
So we eventually caped. I can send you guys a photo later.
Oh, all right.
Desmond, it's a faux hawk. It's not like shaved on the side, but like,
okay,
it's a faux hawk. It's not quite like Bobby Wood Jr.'s, which is more mullety, I would argue.
Yes, yes.
Than faux hawk. But, you know, the kid, I don't know, saw one kid with a mohawk one time, hasn't stopped talking about it for 2 months. So our rule with kids is like, if they ask long enough, eventually you're like, okay, they actually mean it. They actually do want to do this thing. We're in. So Desmond's got a mohawk. The question I have for you today as it relates to that is, what is the worst haircut you had at any point in your life, including childhood?
Yeah.
Mine immediately was around fourth grade, probably. There was the briefest section of time where, like, I got a haircut, and in at least a school photo, it's parted near the middle. And let's be honest, that ain't a great look for anybody, and it certainly wasn't a good look for me. Never had a bowl cut, or that might have been my answer. I avoided that most of my childhood. And I went like front spike for a huge chunk of like after middle school through high school years, I would say, before like the longer cut. It's got to be the part down the middle. If I'd had a bowl cut, that might have been my answer. And I never went like full shave, like buzz down to the edge.
I had some short haircuts, but not all the way down to a buzz. I would say for me,
dyed a couple of weird ways too that might count.
Probably I'd have to, I don't know what age it would have been, but just, I guess it was somewhat more of the style at the time. Like I had some long bangs, like some pretty long, like no style, like pretty long bangs at one point in time. I would say that would have been the
thing. That's got to be the answer then.
But I never did, like, I'm going to ask Drew this because you strike me. I never had, like, the frosted tips, and I feel like you did.
I was going to say the worst.
I feel like you had the frosted tips.
The worst haircut I had was last year where I had. No, I'm kidding.
That was pretty. Nice. No, that was a great haircut.
Yeah, that was a good haircut.
It was an interesting hair dye. I did have I had my hair bleached once with.
Really?
With, like, electric blue tips when I was going to. Ooh, it didn't last long.
Love
I don't
that.
Even know if there's a photo.
I wish we had a photo.
I don't even know if there's a photo.
That's incredible.
I dyed the same time my hair got dyed like that. I helped my friend dye his in like a leopard print, like down in the bleach. I was just like bored in a summer day, and I let somebody dye my hair.
For crazy hair day, I did like a slime green. I had a green hair.
Slime green.
But I never had frosted tips. My hair was. I had the most basic of haircuts, but I did. I wanted spiked hair when I was spiked hair was great. So in elementary school, I'm sure there's some pictures that I have.
Yeah, those are bangs. That's not a good haircut for you, man.
This was back.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
Yeah, that would be the one that comes to mind. I think it was like 08, 09. It was just the hair wasn't styled. It was
just
long.
That's not long enough ago, I feel like. That was like college?
This would have been right before senior year of high school, I think.
Senior high school.
Oh. That was before I didn't do any.
Bowl cut
I didn't do anything.
A couple of mentions.
Yeah, I didn't do anything to my hair at that time.
Faux hawk, staple back in elementary school for me, not a good look. My stepbrothers, I always found they had like rat tails. I always thought that was not particularly good look.
Gosh. Yeah.
At the time, I didn't think it. The soccer cut, man. It was just like the soccer bowl cut. That one always stood out. And buzzed. I never went full buzz. That felt dangerous.
I had some short haircuts, but not a full buzz cut. Someone said, which one of you were closest to being goth? My money is on Drew. Yeah, I mean, actually, Cody, I don't think so. Drew was more skater. You were skater.
You guys are crazy. I
skater.
No, I was, I got an 8. Give me an 8. I buzzed. That's all I did. I never.
You were more skatery, based on your photos.
I never owned a skateboard. Never owned a pair of rollerblades. I've never. Okay. I'm
then
the furthest thing from
was it
goth
you?
Emo.
It's definitely
anything
me.
Like
so,
that.
Like, I never had the long hair, and I didn't do the eyeliner. But I've already told you
Korn
and Limp Bizkit and all that's a
fingertips.
I have owned a pair of rollerblades. I don't know if that has anything to do with being emo.
Yeah.
Or goth. I've owned a pair of rollerblades. I have owned a pair of JNCO jeans.
Okay.
That's got to qualify.
Did you ever pair of skinny jeans?
And there was a stretch of time when I, that wasn't, emo was baggy jeans, or like goth was baggy jeans when I was of that age. It might be skinny jeans now. It was baggy jeans. JNCO stovepipe, that style.
Yeah, like the chain coming
and
off.
And I hung,
the,
I never had that,
jeans.
But I hung, but I hung out with some people who definitely had the chain wallet.
Yeah.
So like that, I was like fringe with some people that might have dressed close to that heading to a Deftones concert, but I wasn't in the crowd, right? I was like fringe. Mm. I have been to a Marilyn Manson show.
There you go.
So like, I've got to be the closest in this group for sure. Someone said second through seventh grade had frosted tips. You had it for five grade
They liked
levels?
It. They liked it, I guess.
Someone said that I ever wore Vans shoes. Yes, I had a black and white checkered Vans shoe.
Yeah.
Sure.
I really think of the chain wallet for sure was with the long baggy black pants. The chain
Again,
wallet would have been
punk than goth, but that puts me closer into the goth range. And I would have hung out with some people that
someone says their varsity baseball team all bleached their hair. After the bleach was gone, their hair turned gray for several months. They had gray hair because
the bleach didn't bad bleach.
Yeah. I guess.
You got to go back. You got to keep getting it bleached. Otherwise, you know, that's it.
That is the random question of the day. We do have an update, though, on the New Orleans prisoner escape. We've been following that, I guess, almost 2 weeks now. And they're down to 2 inmates still out there. Still 2 on the loose. About a dozen alleged accomplices are in custody at this point in time. We said last week, I think we asked the question this time last week. All right, by Memorial Day, how many would be left? And I think we were like, there might be a handful left. There are 2 left as we sit here on Tuesday, May 27th. And they've all been captured, I think, in New Orleans. Like, none of them, like, we had this idea, it's like a movie, that they're just all going to be able to just get out of the state or get out of the country. That just doesn't happen. They're going to catch these other 2 probably in the next 2 days, don't you think? I think we'll have all of them in custody.
I mean, the fact that they're only down to 2, man. You said by this week.
Yeah.
So you've probably got, inside your timeline, I mean, they've already caught pretty much everybody. The question is, can one person
But everyone's inside the area.
Here's where
no
the latest
one's even made it that far.
I guess the furthest, in fairness, and it's still not that far, but the latest was 82 miles away. Rest in Walker County, Texas. About 82. So I guess this person did get out of the state barely. 82 miles out there. But two remain.
Two remain, huh? How did the other guy get caught, you said?
I don't know the story. There's not a crazy story on
this
last one.
It's not like he hopped in an Uber like the other one.
No, and I don't know if this is the gentleman that was in that Uber or if he's still one of the people that are on the run.
Oh, man. God, you know what?
Two were arrested in Walker County, Texas. One was arrested.
So we're down to Derek and Antoine, it looks like, based on the two guys that are still out and available. I do not know what they did. I mean, high speed. Oh, according to this, Donald Tate led law enforcement on high-speed chase before they were taken into custody on May 26th. So they just did it the classic way. Get in a car, try to drive really fast to get away again, and then failed to do so. And then, yeah, the other two guys still haven't been found. I mean, do we really think that they're anywhere? Like, if they're in a state, it's a neighboring state, right?
Yes.
They didn't get anywhere of any kind of distance. What we find out is, unless you were like you said in the TV show, unless you got like $50 million in the bank and you can access a bunch of cash to help get yourself out of the country. I mean, there's just a limit to what you can do.
Yeah, and they've already caught a dozen people that were trying to allegedly, you know, help them along the way. So
how much trouble could you get in if, like, you just, like, let them crash your house because you were worried about your own safety? Can you be charged in that case? Let's say your guy goes to jail for murder. He shows up at your house, and you're like, well, I don't want to tell this guy. No, he might murder me. And the second you get a chance, you phone the police, but sleep on your couch at some point.
I think long as you truly were fearful of your life in that moment, in that exact scenario, I think you might be able to explain that.
Do you think
you
have to physically threaten you, or like just be like you were fearful because of like the implication? You know,
a lot of the
idea that he could hurt.
A lot of the accomplices, though, I think it sounds like have prior connection to these people. I don't think they were like random people were helping them. It sounds like these were, you know, friends, family, whatever, that were helping them. I don't think it was just like random guy down the street decided to help out
than the people who have escaped so far.
But someone says
accomplices, 12 escaped prison inmates, 8 or 9 or whatever.
Someone says it's harboring a fugitive. Yeah, obviously, if you know what if he points a gun at your head and says let me inside, they're not going to charge you with harboring a fugitive. I think that's what Cody was asking. But
one guy faces domestic abuse and theft of a motor vehicle charge. The other guy faces 3 counts of second-degree murder. 3 counts of second-degree murder. 2 counts of second-degree murder and battery of a correctional facility employee. So yeah,
they're all going to be
incredibly dangerous.
They're
people.
All going to be caught here very, very soon.
Yeah, I would think so. I think you're right. I think by Friday, no more escaped fugitives.
Yeah, like what, $20,000, $30,000 reward out for them too.
You snitching in that case, I'm guessing.
If I knew where they were at,
yeah.
You wouldn't? Are you suggesting that you would not take the money in that scenario?
I'll take the 30 grand.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. We've made it very clear in this show that I've both committed the most crime out of the three of us and would snitch on someone for committing a crime. Both. Yeah. You can be both. Multifaceted, you know? Not stuck with one thing.
There you go.
You can be more than one thing. Someone says it's harboring a fugitive either way. Again, I just don't know that gold, like you said. I think they got to like let me off the hook if they actually catch the guy.
All right, up next, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. Let's talk more about the SEC commissioner, what he's saying about college football and what role he is playing and what could be an eventual split with the SEC. That's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour right here on Cody and Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest, it hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day, because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.